And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 107 for January 15th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Tunes, NFL Easy Picks, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. Without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 84 episodes in a row, heavy set.
Snoochie Boochies.
We got Kebbo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got Carp.
What's up, folks?
And we've got Tunes from Brian. We've got Brian from Tunes.
I am the Lord of the Dance. Fuck Michael Flatley, it's me.
Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Heavy set, let's start with you.
I forgot to get one.
You piece of shit.
We could use the one that I DM'd you that the author for Gone Girl is talking about making a sequel to the book. Which would probably mean we're getting a sequel to the movie.
Okay, well, how do you pursue that, though? How do you go further? I mean, Ben Affleck's fucked. He has to have the kid. End his story. Like, how can you get more story out of that? I don't see how you can progress that at all.
She fakes the kid's death and really kills herself.
How about the baby fakes his death, goes driving. Yeah. He's like 7-month-old baby driving down, changes his identity.
Exactly. And frames the mother instead of the father.
Yeah, exactly. Heavy, if you're writing this sequel, where do you go with this?
I would try to find any way to piss you off, because as soon as I read the headline, I was like, oh, Old School's going to be pissed.
Oh, man. This enraged me so much, the ending of this first movie. So anything short of her getting decapitated within the first 5 minutes would disappoint me. I'll throw that to the panel. I know you guys have seen this as well. Where would you go with this franchise?
One of Tyler Perry's other clients. The exact same type of BS.
Does she get taken?
Maybe she gets taken. Who knows?
Okay. If Neeson comes in and caps her at the end, I think it would give a little silver lining for me.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
I say you do that.
As Darkman kills her.
Darkman takes her and then shoots her in the head. Credits. Make it a short film. Then he shoots Nancy Grace, shoots the kid, shoots Ben Affleck, shoots himself. And, like in cold blood, just one after the other, lines them up. What's that?
And knocks up the sister.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the kid gets taken. That's how you do it. All right. So yeah, universally horrible idea. Please do not remake this piece of shit film. I know it's highly acclaimed, but I fucking hate the... Anyways, I'm getting pissed off here. I gotta breathe, and we'll throw it to Kebbo Trek.
Speaking of great ideas, let's go with rumors of a Taken 4. Not rumors, but Neeson saying Taken 4 a possibility.
I mean, it's gotten to be a joke at this point. You know, like the third one came out this weekend. We'll save our review for when that time comes, but needless to say, it was disappointing. I mean, I don't see what else he could do with this franchise apart from him being in an old age home and his wheelchair gets taken, or he takes a shit in his pants. I mean, at this point, Neeson's a fucking senior citizen. And again, I know your argument's going to be the economics. Made a bunch of money again, especially the overseas numbers did really well. So I understand why they're continuing with this franchise. It just seems like they really got to put it to rest, Kebbo Trek.
Absolutely. It's the same kind of thing as like The Hangover and stuff like that, where there should have never been one sequel, let alone multiple sequels. And it's funny because originally when Liam Neeson signed on for Taken 3, it was in his contract that that would be his last Taken movie. And now he's already talking about, you know, the possibility of a fourth one.
I think he's taken a second look at the box office revenues and sees, you know what, maybe I could pull out another movie and make a bit of extra cash before I end this thing.
Oh, yeah. It's like we say, like you said, it's 100% a cash grab. But if he can make some money and we'll get another 3 years of jokes from it, why not? You know, maybe the dog gets taken or maybe.
Okay, I have a question for you now. How well does a fourth do, and does he keep going at this point?
I would expect a fourth one to probably be around the $25-30 million range domestically. Foreign, you know what? I think it'll still do well foreign, and it wouldn't surprise me if they went to like a Taken 5.
At this point, is he getting taken? Because I would think the only way to save this is to have the daughter become like a spy.
But the thing is, like, if he gets taken, he's already been taken.
Well, no, they were taken, not him specifically.
But I guess so. I guess it's movie, like, it's the movie. Okay. But, like, it's so unbelievable for her to be anything other than, like, a useless, a
fragile, useless 40-year-old teenager.
Exactly.
Does the baby get taken? I guess at this point it's got
to
be the baby.
Yeah, it has to be the baby.
I've got a great idea. Everybody gets taken. God raptures the earth, and he goes after God.
It'd be great if he takes out God. If he can take out God, I mean, at that point. Like,
from what I'm seeing his next movie coming out, it looks like his cardio is getting taken. So
he can't take out God, though, because he played Aslan, and Aslan was an allegory for God.
But, hey, he was also, wasn't he Zeus?
Yeah, twice. He played Zeus as well.
So, I mean, he was a god.
Now, the other thing that I want you guys to realize, because as you know, Toons has a lot of connections deep in every industry. And what we heard from a reliable source that looked a lot like a plush animal sitting up on my bed is that they're going to keep making Taken movies right up until the Wayans brothers decide to finally make a spoof film of them. So until that happens, you better buckle up because we're going to have a bunch of Taken movies.
That's when you know you've made it, when you get spoofed by Wayans. All right, let's take this another route and give it to Cart as he discusses his news story for this week.
So my move story is coming out of a Variety. It's Affleck. There. Did I say it right?
Batfleck.
Batfleck.
You said Affleck like 40 times 40 yesterday times. For the I Kevin did. Smith retrospective.
So Affleck and Fincher reteam for Strangers on a Train reboot.
Following the success of Gone Girl, not in my opinion, David Fincher and Ben Affleck are reteaming for a new take on another classic story. Warner Brothers has tapped Affleck to star, you'll get that next episode, to star and Fincher to direct Strangers, a new take on the classic Alfred Hitchcock pick, Strangers on a Train. Gone Girl author Gillian Flynn will pen the script that follows a movie star in the middle of an Oscar campaign whose private plane breaks down and is given a ride to L.A. on another plane by a wealthy stranger. In the original, the plot revolved around two strangers meeting on a train and discussing the idea of exchanging murderers. Or murders.
Murders, yeah. Not murderers. Yeah.
We'll exchange murderers.
I got this
you
guy,
give me your murderer, I'll give you my murderer. An idea one of the strangers decides to carry out. While how exact details will go with this plot are unknown, it's likely to achieve the same dark tones as the 1951 original, which starred Farley Granger and Robert Walker. I mean, I haven't seen this movie myself, but I think a Fincher-Affleck team could definitely make this interesting. We've seen Argo do well. We've seen The Town. So he can do these kind of twists and dramas and stuff, you know. And yes, Gone Girl is critically acclaimed and stuff, so I'll give him points for that. He's kind of rejuvenated his career. Maybe have one more quick one before the Batman series, you know, make or breaks his career. What do you think about this, Carp?
I like the idea. I really like the original Strangers on a Train concept. I've seen the movie. It was a very long time ago, though, so it's not very fresh in my mind.
So they exchange murderers.
Well, basically what they do is one guy's like, oh, yeah, well, how about you kill my wife? And then how about I kill – or how about you kill my wife and I kill blah, blah, blah of yours?
Why don't you just kill your own wife?
So that nothing will come back to us this time.
Ah,
I
see what you mean.
Strangers. Yes. I like the concept. I'd like to see them pull it off. As long as it's a lot better than Gone Girl. I'm really looking forward to it. I figure it will be. I guess it's just a matter of time. Like you said, Affleck's got to get some more stuff underneath him on top of the Batman stuff. So I guess probably 2016 we'll see this, maybe 2017. And like you said, Fincher and Affleck seem to be a financial success. So.
Yeah, I mean, douchebags wanting to kill his wife, I guess that'll kind of carry over from previous movies.
There we go. You know that's how you have the sequel to Gone Girl, right there.
Exactly. You know, it'd be kind of cool if it kind of twisted into that, made something good out of it. Anybody else want to comment?
My question would be, do you think this would work as well on a plane? Like, to me, part of what made the original so great was the fact that it was taking place on a train. Do you think maybe it would kind of have an effect on the movie, or it's just...
Does anybody take trains anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course people do. Come on, man.
Nobody takes a train.
I still take a carriage.
But you, I wouldn't be surprised, because you're a 7-year-old in a 30-year-old's body.
Wait, a 7-year-old?
Yeah. He's more like
70.
You said
more like 170.
I didn't say it. Okay, we're going to play it back right now. I said 70.
You said seven.
You're a 7-year-old in a 30-year-old's body.
Wait, a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
Well, you're mentally 7.
There you go.
What makes it unrealistic is not the fact that it took place on a train back then and nobody takes a train. It's that people don't talk to each other at all in public forums anymore. Because in reality, if you are on a train or a subway, if you want to call it a train, everybody puts their earbuds in and they just ignore everybody else around
them. You know what they should do? They should sit next to each other and text for 2 hours in the movie.
Just straight back and forth.
Isn't there a movie coming out like that where apparently like the entire dialogue is just texting on the screen?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, like, you've got mail except for in text form.
I mean, you guys have seen
House of Cards?
If you've seen House of Cards, there's a lot of texting on there.
That's an amazing show.
It is an amazing show, and they actually do it well. So to do a full 2-hour texting thing might definitely be a challenge, especially for a heavyset that doesn't like reading subtitles. So
here's your thing with this, though. You couldn't text each other because the police will be looking for evidence of the murder on your text.
They're both burner phones.
So,
you lose.
I don't know. The concept of having somebody else commit your murder, I've always liked that idea. So
they both randomly have burner phones, and they both randomly want to kill their wives, and they're there at the same time.
Maybe.
What are the odds?
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyways, I mean, I think Batfleck can definitely pull this off. Fincher, I mean, it just seems like a perfect idea for these two. So yay for me. Who else we got on the line? Brian, let's get your news story for this week.
Yeah, I actually found this one right before we went on the air, if you want to call it the air. Disney has a couple of movies coming out, including Ghost in the Shell, which I'm a huge fan of, and The Jungle Book.
What's Ghost in the Shell?
Ghost in the Shell is an animated
manga. Yeah. It's a Japanese manga that came out in 97, I believe, because it was around the time that I graduated high school.
It's pretty awesome.
Okay, The Jungle Book's getting delayed, but it's supposed to be live action. Are they putting a guy in a bear suit? What's going on with that?
God, I hope so. they're going to have George the Animal Steel play the bear. He's still alive, right? I think he is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so he can still go.
You've never seen the original live-action Jungle Book old school?
No, because I've never seen a bear in a fucking suit. It's not possible.
No, he's not in a suit.
Yeah, he is. No, it's OEA, tailspin, OEA.
He's a fucking lawyer, whatever,
and he's a pilot. It makes no sense. Okay, if he can pilot the plane, and you can get you can train a bear to pilot a fucking plane, I'm going to go see it.
As long as the live-action Jungle Book that is now delayed, when it comes out, they need to have a spin-off movie of Tailspin, and then I'll be like super happy because Tailspin was the bomb. But yeah, I was just looking at it, and apparently the release dates for Ghost in the Shell and Pete's Dragon, which is being remade, are coming out. And I'm a big Disney fan. I've never seen the live-action Jungle Book, though, so that's one of the things I always avoided, because I just liked the cartoon, the animated version. What interests me about the story is simply the fact that Disney has the rights to Ghost in the Shell, and I guess I wanted to ask you guys if you think they can pull that off, because that's pretty far away from their typical genre.
I don't know. After all the stuff they've done with the Marvel movies, I would not be surprised if they could pull off a live-action Ghost in the Shell.
I would say, yeah, if they can make a practical effect Star Wars, they can make whatever the fuck they want, man. They've got the money to do it. They have the movie company that could pull this off.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's just, it's going to be so cool because Scarlett Johansson is going to play the main character. I'm kind of looking forward to it now because I didn't even realize that they were actually going to be making it, but now I got to wait 2 damn years to see it. So okay. That's quite a ways out.
But I still don't understand how they're going to put the bear on the fucking plane, dude. I know it's
Jungle
Disney.
Jungle Book and Tailspin are two completely different worlds.
All I know is there's a bear that flies a plane.
That's in Tailspin, not in Jungle Book.
We're not even talking about Jungle Book. We're talking about that other one, The Ghost in the Shell.
That's because Tailspin's like the best cartoon ever.
It is, but I can't see a live action happening. It's all CGI. Again, I got cash money in my hand right now. You pull off a bear in a plane, I'll give you $20 right now. You take my fucking money. All right, enough about bears on planes. Let's get into the movie review. Let's take a couple minutes and get into the movie review of the week. Our money's been taken, Carp. Let's get your review.
I was very unimpressed. I guess I had a slightly higher hopes. I figured it would have been better than 2. It was not. I felt the twist ending that they did, or not twist ending, but the twist antagonist, I felt that coming along very early in the movie. Bad guy, as I went to see it with Charlie, and Russian antagonist, as she said, had a terrible haircut, which was the only thing I kind of found funny in the movie.
Okay, question for you. We're not going to spoil anything, but of course there's an Eastern European bad guy.
Well, yeah,
big
Russian,
surprise.
Obviously.
All I'm saying is Taken 1 would have shot that guy in the dick.
Yeah, it was a lot less of him murdering people this time, I found.
I mean, specifically in that scene, there would have been a dick shot. That's all I'm saying.
There was a lot more punching people with the guns instead. Like, he gun-butted, I don't know, countless people I found.
Yeah, like, why not shoot them?
I don't know.
Because that's what he's used to. He's used to going and, like, destroying Europe to save his daughter.
The quick cuts during the chase scene were really pissing me off, too. Like, I found it was quick cut slash shaky cam type thing. So that kind of pissed me off a bit. I don't know. It just seemed uninspired in the end. So for me, it's a 4 dead Famke Janssens out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give my thoughts quickly, and I'm probably going to agree on a couple of points. One, especially the cuts. During the action scenes, it's quite obvious that Neeson does not have the ability to pull these things off. So that's why we had about 1,000 cuts. And, like, no joke, with him running out 3 stairs into, like, outside the house, there was about 10 cuts. It literally gave me a headache. I could not watch the scene. It was so many fucking cuts. Like, I'm counting in my head, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's, like, no joke, 8 cuts every 4 seconds. And the time they didn't cut, you could see his physical limitations. And it's a shame because the first one was so well done. And the violence was so unpredictable. You're like, fuck, is he going to do that? Is he going there? Yes, he went there. And the last 2 iterations, he did not go there. And that's why it was extremely disappointing for me. I agree. Predictable storyline. Somebody gets taken, or somebody's life gets taken in this case. Doesn't kill enough people, and he should have shot that guy in the dick. I'm going to give it 5 Russian guys that didn't get shot in the dick out of 10. Kebo Trek, let's get your review.
Yeah, you guys pretty much hit the nail on the head with this one. I did like it slightly more than the second one, just because they at least tried to do something different.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, the cuts and the shaky cam was really annoying. It's getting harder and harder to buy the daughter as, like, this young innocent.
She's like 40.
She's like maybe in her first year of college in the movie.
He buys her a teddy bear. She's like
what?
40 years old. It's ridiculous.
And they, like, dress her down so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there should have never been a movie after the first one, and they're just getting tired.
Maggie Grace is only 32. Right now, so
she looks 42.
She looks 42 in the movie,
and they have
she looks like the oldest, like freshman, in
oldest
college
teenager
ever.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the main issue with it is it's possible to do sequels if you either keep that aggressiveness and, you know, the ruthlessness of the character, but when you dumb him down or pussy him like that, I mean, especially when you're used to that first Taken where he just does anything. It really becomes a huge letdown, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. Also, go ahead.
Get another argument. It was PG-13. I believe the first one was, well, the first one I saw the unrated version where he, like, the torture scene is a lot more crazier, and that's apparently PG-13, but I guess seeing the unrated version helped. I could tell at the end of Taken 3 when the surprise antagonist, like, says, oh, screw you, you can actually see him out the word fuck you if you watch. So you can tell there's going to be an edited version of this one as well.
Yeah,
so
it's just...
See, you know what? I'd probably give the unedited version a chance. Unrated, I should say, a chance, and see what that's like. So.
Yeah, it seems like it would have been worth waiting for the DVD or the digital download to get that unrated version so you can get maybe more violence. Because there was a lot of cutaways, too, especially when people were getting shot.
I think the original was a hard PG-13, okay. Where this one was more of like a very soft... Like, there's no shooting people in the back, no shooting an innocent wife in the leg, no torture.
See, that's like, but that's what made the first one.
Well, yeah, that's
movie.
Exactly what made the first one, because action heroes weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Liam Neeson wasn't supposed to do that.
That's also what made it great. So, yeah, if I would give it, I liked it more than a second, so I'm going to give it 6 particular set of skills on 10.
Heavy or Brian, did you guys have a chance to see it yet?
I have not. I'm like Heavy. Last week he said that he hasn't seen the first or the second one, and that's me. Yeah, I've not seen either one.
Yeah, honestly, you made the right choice by avoiding this movie.
Yeah, I haven't taken the time to watch it yet.
Well, you know what? He didn't take your money, so that's a good thing. All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down! All right, Carp, let's break down the numbers for this week.
So no surprise to anyone, but Taken took first place. Weekend gross of $39.2 million on a $48 million budget with an additional $51.4 million foreign for a total of $93 right now.
It's already made its money back.
And it was only released in 4 additional countries on top of, well, North America. So that's $51 million in 4 additional foreign countries is pretty damn impressive.
What do you think it ends with?
Ends with after the how many ever week run, including
I say foreign, it ends with 250,
including foreign, probably about 200 to 2. I'll say 200 to 225.
Are we talking total, like worldwide?
Total 250.
I would say 400.
Wow,
I'm going to go optimistic. I think it'll do well in the foreign market.
You want to throw some money on that?
No.
So shut your mouth.
In second place, we had a nationwide expansion of the movie Selma, which is a chronicle of Martin Luther King in Montgomery, Alabama. So it expanded to an additional 2,000-plus cinemas for a weekend gross of $11.3 million for a total of $13.5 million on a $20 million budget. Third place was Kevin's favorite musical ever, Into the Woods, $9.5 million for a total of $105 million on a budget of $50 million. Fourth place, The Hobbit's More of Walking and Battling. Fourth place, $9.3 million for a total gross of $236.4 million, with an additional worldwide of $545 million for a total of $782 million in 4 weeks, which is really impressive. Fifth place, we have Angelina Jolie's Unbroken for another $8.1 million for a total of $101 million on a $65 million budget. Sixth place, we have The Imitation Game up this week in more screens for $7.2 million for an additional $40.4 million for a total of $40.4 million. Seventh place, we have Night at the Museum, the final one, hopefully. Total of $6.7 million, total of $99 million on a budget of $127 million. Fox is definitely not happy about that. Eighth place, we have the third iteration of Annie, I believe, from Sony Pictures with $4.7 million for a total of $79.2 million on a $65 million budget. Sony will probably make its money back in the end. Ninth place, we have Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death, $4.6 million on a for a total of $22.1 million in 2 weeks. No budget listed, so I'm sure it's more than made its money back. And in 10th place, we have The Hunger Games Part 1 of The Mockingjay for $3.7 million for a total of $329 million on a $125 million budget.
I agree.
I'm sure it's going to make about the same in the same amount of time for the next one that comes out this year.
Yeah, guaranteed revenue maker for the studios. Financially smart to break it into two parts. Although as a movie fan, I find that extremely stupid. But numbers don't lie. That's why we're going to have five different Takens. Let's get into upcoming movies this week. This one's going to pique my interest a little bit. This is American Sniper.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. Would you be surprised if I told you that the Navy has credited you with over 160 kills? Do you ever think that you might have seen things or done some things over there that you wish you hadn't?
Oh, that's not me, no.
What's not you?
I don't tell you enough. I'm so proud of you. You're such a great father.
So you're not worried about what might happen?
I'm willing to meet my creator and answer for every shot that I took.
Don't pick it up. Drop it.
So what, are you in Germany or where?
I'm stateside.
Your home? What are you doing?
I guess I just needed a minute.
The thing that haunts me are all the guys that I couldn't save.
Hey! Send to my daughter, please, right now!
I'm ready.
Oh, my God!
I'm ready to come home.
American Sniper, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Bradley Cooper as a
American Sniper.
Well, I was gonna get elaborate a little bit more than that. Cooper as Chris Kyle, the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history. I believe it's based on a true story as well. So, very effective trailer. Great acting, great directing. Of course, Eastwood definitely up there in terms of directors. Is definitely going to pique my interest because of the quality of the film. I'm going to check this out. It's a yay for me, Carp.
It's definitely a yay for me. First time I saw the trailer, when you see the nun and the kid, and the nun hands the kid a grenade, and he asks if he could take the shot. I'm like, sold. I'm not worried about Bradley Cooper losing the accent at any point, like Liam Neeson tended to do in Taken 3.
He's not going to pull a Dick Van Dyke.
So it's a definite yes for me. It's very, very appealing.
Kebo Trek.
Maybe on a cheapy Tuesday for me.
Wow. Heavy set. America.
No, this is actually one I want to see.
Brian, America.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the first time I saw this commercial, I half expected it to be like a wireless provider commercial.
Don't shoot a kid.
No, because they're talking on the phone, and then the next thing you know, it's like, he's under fire. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like some sort of Verizon wireless commercial? And then it's like, whenever I saw that, I saw Clint Eastwood. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to the theater to see that one.
That would have been the most intense wireless commercial in history.
Ever, yeah.
It'd be like, he's got an AT&T cell phone. He loses communication, so he has to shoot the kid. It'd be like, Verizon, we don't kill kids.
It's a cutthroat industry. We're on top of it.
AT&T murders children. Disclaimer, AT&T doesn't really murder children. Yeah, because you have a U.S. military background, right?
Yeah, I was in the Army and the Army Guards and things like that. And I tend to always look at the military movies from maybe a slightly different perspective. People tend to look at them from the, like somebody's going to kill that many people. And I'm like, yeah, but how did he do it? So I always look at that. And like the whole Rambo thing, like everybody, oh, yeah, Rambo's awesome. And everybody realizes it's a gross exaggeration, and they're like, yeah, look, somebody's going to do that. And I'm like, yeah, you'd never shoot an AT-4 out of a Huey. Like, it would never happen. It'd blow up the Huey. But
but you don't get the one, like, guy going to shoot, like, 10,000 Iraqis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be awesome, but.
It'd be the greatest, but. Like the thing is, I always look at all those technical things, and to this day, I have to say that probably the best military movie that I've seen was actually We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson.
Oh, cool. All right, so pretty unanimous there, except for Kebbo Trek, who doesn't like the U.S. military. So you can email him at...
Sit down, Frenchie.
Yeah, sit down. Fuck you, Frenchie. Let's get to our next movie. This is Black Hat.
Some hacker is hitting our financial markets.
Four major banks, and that's just what we know about?
If we want clues to the hacker's identity, we need a man named Hathaway.
What do we know about this guy?
He's a convicted hacker serving...
Okay, Thor is not a fucking hacker. This makes no sense.
15 years at MIT. Genius coder.
I want you to commute my sentence for identification and the apprehension of the guy you're after. Those are the terms. Is he political? Terrorist attack? Any declaration?
The guy we're working will drop the big hammer and not think twice about it.
He's on the move again.
Chicago. Now China.
This is only the beginning.
He's still writing. War 4.
Mama, take this badge off of me.
Real head is still to come.
I can't use it.
You get discovered, you're dead meat.
You have to run.
This isn't about politics. I can target anyone. Anything. Anywhere.
Black Hat, starring Liam Hemsworth. Is it Liam Hemsworth? Yeah. Thor? Whatever the fuck is. Chris Hemsworth. Starring Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, this just seems like a action movie disguised as some kind of intelligent computer type thing. Brian, you were mentioning about, like, you know, any kind of military stuff. It's overdone. You're going to kind of roll your eyes. This seems like, in terms of the tech world, it's going to be really like, oh, press this button and do a trace and do, you know what I mean? So it's going to be an action movie disguised as some kind of hacker thing. It's a nay for me just based on the fact that, you know, at least have some kind of guy who would be possibly believable as a hacker, not Chris Hemsworth. Heavy set.
Nay.
Yep. Brian.
I think this is kind of a rental. I'm willing to wait on it.
Okay, we got a rental. Kebbo Trek.
Yeah, it's a nay for me as well.
And Carp.
Cheapy Tuesday or Blu-ray. Like you said, Thor's not a hacker. I said the exact same thing when Hugh Jackman was a hacker in Swordfish. The action parts look good from what I can see. And Michael Mann is a great director. So that's the only real part that have piqued my interest. And I want to see Chris Hemsworth outside of being Thor.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix rental maybe, yeah, for me, but like, I wouldn't
Blu-ray,
I wouldn't go to theater.
Maybe Cheapy Tuesday since it's like $5.
There you go.
And I don't work right now.
So. There you go. All right, so not very popular Black Hat. Our last one is The Wedding Ringer.
So I'm not going to do it. This is to the groom, my best friend, to happy ever after.
So I guess that's it.
I mean, you know the rules.
I do. I just thought
that. What?
I thought we, like, maybe hit it off, right? Like,
no. I want to propose a toast to happy ever after. What exactly do you do?
Welcome to the Best Man, Inc.
I provide best man services for guys like yourself who lack in such areas. How you looking on groomsmen? You need one or two?
I need seven.
You need seven? What you're talking about is what we joke about. And in less than 2 weeks?
Please help me. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, if I do this, you need to understand that this is strictly a business relationship. You're not buying a new friend, you're hiring your best man.
Got it.
I'm assuming you made up a name for me.
Vic Mitchum.
Nowhere of Kate.
Hey, ladies, what's going on? My name is Vic.
I'm Vic Mitchum and I love candy.
Vic Mitchum can have whatever he wants.
All right. I like it. God created the world in 7 days. We gotta do a whole lot more in a lot less time.
Who are these people?
Me? It's a groomsman.
These guys cannot be my groomsmen.
It looks like the entire cast of Goonies grew up and became rapists. It is my job to make you look good on your wedding day. That's why we're here. It's called a dry run. You can hide a fat ass in baggy pants, but you cannot hide a bad dancer.
You asked how a girl like Gretchen could fall for me? I took her dancing.
Teach me how to dunk it. Teach me how to dunk it. All my women love me. All my women love me.
all so talented, those gays.
From this moment on, we are flawless, gentlemen.
What time is it? It's gay time!
That's the strangest looking group of guys I've ever seen.
Boom. Three balls. Count them.
Holy. I want my real life to be as fun as the one I paid for.
Let's go make some history.
We'll never forget climbing the glaciers of Patagonia.
Jumping out of a plane at 10,000 feet.
What are you feeding him?
What are you talking about?
I'm onto you. He wasn't like that until you showed up.
That's the Doug that I know.
Don't you think it's a bit strange that your best man's name is Vic Mitchum?
I gotta be honest with you guys.
You know what? I think this is going to be a cheapy Tuesday for me. That's surprising. I think this movie has a lot of potential. And, you know, you see trailers of movies like this, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're shit. The first Hangover really surprised people. I think this is going to be at that level, Hangover level, and I'm going to check this out. Kebo, check. Let's get your thoughts.
I actually want to see this, so I'm going to go yay. I was surprised how much I enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah, there we go. Two, Cart.
I have yet to see a Kevin Hart-based movie in the cinema, and it's probably going to continue, so I'll just wait till...
Racist!
No, it's not because I'm racist. It's because I'm not a fan of Kevin Hart. Although, his next movie coming out in 2015 with Will Ferrell, I might actually go see. That's because
you got to come with us, Cart, man. If we all go, you got to go.
If you go cheapy...
If we all come, you have to come,
too. If you go cheapy Tuesday during the day...
We all have to come at the same time. Brian, you going to come with us?
Yeah, I'll be right there. Two things. One, you make me laugh and I'm yours. Kevin Hart is not funny. I don't like him. I don't find him funny at all. Secondly, look at the timing of this movie. The Wedding Ringer coming out a month before Valentine's Day. This is all part of a ploy to trick females get females to trick their boyfriends into trying to propose on Valentine's Day. That's all this is.
Oh, we got a conspiracy guy here.
Dude, I've seen the light. I think we have to take out Kevin Hart now.
No.
We have to sabotage this movie.
No, we have to take out all rom-coms between the months of January and February.
We have to call... listen, I'm calling Kim Jong-un. We got to get this movie shut down.
I'm telling you, you got to contact the girls over at All Wine Aside, part of the Trending Topics Network, and ask them if they know people. Yeah, they're going to sucker their boyfriend. Oh, look, it's a comedy, hun. And then the next thing you know, they're planting that seed. It's time to buy a ring. Time to get a ring. That's all it is.
Fucking bastards. Heavy set.
This is going to be a nay for me because I really think they're working on the eventual movie of Kevin Hart and Dane Cook, and it's called No Laughs Required.
Yeah. Hey, we might maybe go see that. And Sniper. So this might be a busy weekend for me. All right. What do we got on DVD, Carp? Anything good? The Identical, isn't that fucking Elvis impersonator
we got,
shit?
The movie that everybody but me and you liked. And
Gone Girl.
The Identical is, it's the Elvis.
It's that Elvis thing.
He was out already? Damn.
Yeah, the other iteration of Taken in A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Oh, was that the Neeson?
Neeson movie.
The Neeson Western Taken?
Yeah, it's like a modern day Western Taken.
The Taken's Horse?
One with the redheaded chick from Game of Thrones, Rose Leslie, in a horror movie called Honeymoon, which I actually want to see. And I think that's about it. That looks interesting.
Yeah, I guess Jimmy, if you like to toy show yourself, check out Gone Girl. And I might check out the Neeson one.
And then
see, yes, it's his.
Apparently a comedy coming out called the most WTF NSW movie at Sundance called Wetlands.
Okay, let's not go see that.
Sexy and submersive comedy based on a best-selling novel.
Yep.
Probably not.
Nope. Stop talking. All right, let's get into feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
That's why I called him Crippy Boy.
That's great. Check out next week's episode for that explanation. From WIRX Kata. I seriously don't understand the hate that Kembo Trek, it's actually Kebbo Trek, gets from Vap and his wubby. Who's this stuff? What's a wubby?
I guess his
boyfriend.
Friend from Satirical.
His boyfriend out there. I find him to be as awesome as Wrestle Kingdom 9. Hey, Kebo Trek, you got a fan there.
Bang, look at that.
And something that's only known by Japanese and a few fanboys in North America.
Hey, dude, have you seen Kingdom 9? It's fucking great, man.
Seriously, how many mainstream people know about Wrestle
Kingdom? Dude, it was on American pay-per-view.
I can put on a 5-star match like that.
No way.
Dude, oh, I can't.
Fucking Japanese strong style?
The only time you put on any star match was when you were the Nazi who got cheered.
Okay, nobody's going to get that, dude.
I think Kevbo needs to be on Wrestle.
Need to be on what?
WrestleCast.
Oh.
You want to go on, Kev?
I think so.
Yeah, you and Devil Vap on the same call is going to be awesome.
It'd be almost as fun as it was last week.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Him and Devil Vap would be awesome on the same call. This is Brian from Tunes. Having significant hearing loss, I think movie theater should have one row of seats with audio jacks in the arm of my earbuds. Yeah, I don't see why not. It makes fucking sense, dude.
It totally makes sense. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, because he said in my earbuds. It should have been for your earbuds.
Yeah, I actually didn't read it correctly.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we have like the Americans with Disabilities Act and all that other fun stuff. So they have to make everything accessible with freaking wheelchairs and all that other fun stuff. And they make them accessible in that they have headsets you can get. But those things are so damn inconvenient. I already have my earbuds, which I already put in my own ears. Because I don't want to put things in my ears that have touched other people's ears. I don't care if you claim that you hit them with wet naps or whatever. Like, I have my own earbuds that work very well for me, and I just need a little receptacle to just plug in. And it makes sense. It would certainly make the experience better for somebody like me who's not, like, completely deaf, but I do have trouble. So that was just one of those things. I was thinking about it. I'm like, why don't they have that? And they have every other accessibility available.
I totally agree with that. I mean, if they can provide the dirty-ass fucking over-the-ear headphones for some people, why can't they just have an audio jack where you bring your own?
Yeah.
And they should have this in every seat. It wouldn't be that expensive to wire in.
Because
there's probably people who generally might not be considered, you know, to have significant hearing loss, but probably would benefit from having those in-ear headphones. And also, you could tune out fucking idiots around you who keep talking during the movie.
Or the person who's sitting next to you during a movie talking during a movie.
Yeah, Charlie. Doesn't shut the fuck up during a movie. You could tune her out. It'd be perfect. I mean, I don't see why they do that. And have, like, also in the 3D glasses, have an option for, like, subtitles, too. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. They actually have stuff like that down at, like, Disney World. And that's pretty convenient. Yep. But at the same time, it's like you still got to carry this device around. It takes away from the experience. I'd much rather have something I can just put directly in my ears and be able to hear fine.
I agree 100%. Make it like a plane with just a little earbud on the side. Fucking take 2 seconds to wire that shit in. I agree 100%, bud. This is also from some guy called Brian from Tunes. Tricked my wife into talking our daughter into seeing Into the Woods instead of me. That's a win. Hashtag OSATM.
Fucking right, that's a win. And if you want her review, she said that movie was actually pretty bad. Having been in it, she said they overdid a lot of the things in trying to make it their own, to where they kind of took away from the actual the meaning of the film. So if that means anything to anybody, if you're actually into musicals and you listen to this, first off, I question why you would be listening to us if you like musicals. But yeah,
it's Kebo Trek's favorite movie of the year.
I loved it.
Yeah, the only musical I've ever been to was called The Book of Mormon because it was frickin' hilarious.
Yeah, apparently Keanu Reeves was in it.
Into the Woods?
Was it Keanu Reeves in it? I have no idea because I only half paid attention.
Kevbo?
But either way, there you go. I didn't have to see it, and that's the most important part.
DRG, listening to hashtag OSATM, why does it when Kevbo Trek talks, all I see is a big picture of bubbles from Trailer Park Boys?
I don't get that reference.
That conversation continues, too.
That's awesome. What do you guys? Let me continue that conversation.
Right after that, I said, minus the glasses, but Bubbles is a billion times cooler. And then DRG is so an alternate personality to Conky, be more acceptable of an answer. I wrote, what is a geeky nerd stalker? Because that's only a part of the weird that's Kevbo. Also, the whitest guy ever who only likes b-ball.
There you go.
And a picture of some old character in a mullet that the Apple guy
Bubbles looks exactly like Kebo Trek. So. Totally makes sense. From Kata, hashtag OSATM. Funny you should mention Back to the Future. Never seen those either. Hashtag I'm being serious. Heavy. I mean, to be honest, I think it's a total work, all this shit.
I just came back to the call. What's going on?
Oh, fuck. Are you on the other call now?
I just switched over. I was like, we're finishing up. Hold on. And then I come back to silence. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't going to me, is it?
Do you got to jump to the other show?
No, I told him because we're almost done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, hashtag OSATM. Funny you should mention Back to the Future. Never seen those either. Hashtag I'm being serious. I think this whole cat of things a work, dude, at this point. It's a work.
It's not that. He's a weird fuck. He, like, there's, like, stuff he's like, oh, like, what's that? Like, he had been on a hashtag Tweet the Table segment, which is you can find on Spanish Announce Table right here on the Training Topics Network. He had said, like, who's LeBron? And we're like, come on. Come the fuck on. You knew who the fuck LeBron is. You're just being a
mother. I don't even watch basketball and I knew who LeBron is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really watch hockey, but I can tell you who Wayne Gretzky is.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Who's that?
Kata, we know it's a work, dude. Just give it up. Double A Andy Anderson, I'd rather listen to the horrible podcast, hashtag OSATM. Why is it horrible? Every day over watching Grown Ups 2 every week.
Missed a lot of FYI stuff.
FYI, Kimbo is the best F at Devil Vamp. See, you got two fans there, Kev.
Yeah.
Double A Andy Anderson likes you too.
The funny thing is, people keep calling him Kimbo. I think the people that are saying that didn't hear the old MJR commercial where he actually did, whenever both movies first came on, it was called Kimbo.
He called him Kimbo Trek, yeah. He botched it.
Maybe they think it's Kimbo Slice.
I think it's also because, like, we don't see his name in... Well, unless you look at the notes or anything, but, like, you're not seeing, like, he's not on Twitter, so we know, like, where to find him, so we see his name or anything. Like, it's Kimbo. And...
Yeah, so that everybody knows, it's not Kimbo Trek, it's not Kembo Trek, it's Kevbo Trek. So just to clarify that.
Yeah.
Basically,
his name's Kevin, he Bo leaves, and he likes Star Trek, so Kevbo Trek.
Kevbo Trek. This comes from Devil Vamp. He replied to Double A's... comments for Kev. He says, oh, fuck that noise. Kevbo Trek fucking sucks his mom's dick. Hashtag OSATM.
That's harsh.
Wow. Dude. Oh, man. Stop drinking that haterade, buddy. This comes from DRG. Old school asking why Devil Vamp is so pissed. The answer is easy. Because it's Devil Vamp. Absolutely.
But wait a minute. Also, Kevbo, aren't you a twin?
Twin?
Are you a brother? You have a brother.
Yeah, a less handsome brother, but yeah.
D-Run. Okay, what we need, because Devil Vamp is a twin, we need to have a tag team match. We need to set this up.
But is Devil Vamp's brother actually, like, a nice guy, though? He's, like, the alternate universe of Devil Vamp?
I don't know, but I'm going to have to guess he has to be. There's no
way. Devil Vamp's got all the mean chromosomes, and the other guy's got the, like, nice chromosomes.
You mean the good twin and the evil twin scenario?
Yeah, he's the total evil twin.
Is Devil Vamp a ginger? Because he seems to have a little pent-up anger.
Those gingers, man, I swear.
Fucking ginger trucker bastards.
We're just covering all the bases.
Yeah. Gingers and British kids, man. I don't know.
As Ant said, those ginger trucker bastards. Rocky Mountain High, at Emergency Kittens, Pawshank Redemption? What the fuck is that?
I love it.
DRG, just so you guys know, I'm commenting on every movie I watch just to see if you guys have seen them. Is that cool? Fuck yeah, why not?
He does quite a bit this week. It starts with interview and it goes from there.
Hold on, how come I'm not seeing all
that? I see January 10th. Just finished the interview. Solid comedy, and for some reason I couldn't stop giggling at Franco with that dog. Hashtag.
Oh, I think I missed a bunch of stuff. Hold on. Okay. At the Vigilante. Hashtag OSATM. Please note that Devil Vamp's rants are in no way connected to either myself or cerebral satire. Hashtag, what the fuck is he on about? Yeah, I don't know. He's fucking drinking that haterade, man. Double A, I watched The Babadook and then could not go to sleep. Thanks for that. Recommendation?
Rec-mom-nation. It's his
Thanks for that recommendation, Carp.
Hey, I said it was. It had me even uneasy, and I'm a horror fucking aficionado. So
now he can't sleep. He's got to take Ambien because
he's thinking of the Babadook.
Double A, after watching Taken 3, I watched Taken 2 and then A Walk Among Tombstones. I was not a fan of the last one. Too creepy. I want to check out that Tombstones one, though. I guess you had your money taken as well this week, Double A. Double A. I did like, however, A Walk Among the Tombstones. They featured 12 Steps of Alcohol Anonymous. And then hey, Kevin, you see the, if you look at the Twitter feed, that's how you get the Pawshank redemption. It's this cat, like,
in a prison.
His cat behind bars.
That's awesome.
DRG, Watched Oblivion, The Alien versus the Eagle Eye had some cool aspects, but ultimately fell flat in the end. Anybody else see Oblivion?
That's the one with Tom Cruise.
I have. It was kind of meh.
It was all right. It wasn't bad.
It's Escape After Tomorrow, no?
No. He wrote, hold on.
Oblivion's the one with the drones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was okay.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Double A, spoiler alert for Taken 3. So in Taken 4, will the grandchild be taken? Yeah, that's what we were saying, too. The grandchild's going to be taken. It's true. His wheelchair is going to be taken. His fucking cane. DRG, after seeing the Papa John's cheap
shilling.
Shilling? After seeing the Papa John's cheap shilling in Red 2, what's your favorite product placement in a movie? Stay Puff excluded.
Heavy.
That's awesome. I mean, there were a couple in Taken. It was the Acer one. Did you guys see anything else?
Audi.
Audi, yeah.
There's a lot of Audis.
Liam Neeson with his Nissan.
I think my favorite was the subtlety in Superman.
Like, that was ridiculous. Was like, the camera.
I felt like I didn't, like, there was no advertisements at all. It was so subtle.
It was
subtle.
Like a 30-second pan on the fucking camera. It was ridiculous. You know what we should do? It should be a new game when we're at the movie theater. When we see a product placement, we scream out the product.
You're going to piss off
Panasonic!
The
Panasonic!
That would be awesome, actually.
Burger King!
We should do, like, an entire episode of Old School with the Movies that instead of, like, throwbacks, you just straight up go to product placement and how people, like, put their products in. Because you can basically do an entire episode on Back to the Future Part 2, because that was pretty much the product placement movie.
Superman was bad, though. I'm trying to think of the Turtles was pretty bad, too.
Turtles, I saw it.
There was Pizza Hut. There was Pepsi, I think.
Turtles have always done that. There's been some pizza placement in every single movie.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Maybe not the third one, but then again, I haven't really I will never rewatch the third one. I'll rewatch one or two all the time.
The third one was for Main Moon Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
This comes from Brian from Toons. Last time I cried laughing in a movie was during the dinner scene at Dinner for Schmucks. Which one was that? That's the one with Carell and
Zach Galifianakis, Paul Rudd, Lucy Punch, hell, even Super.
Yeah, and he did like this whole history of it was just the most bizarre story. He had like all the mice in like box telling like going throughout history and talking about people told Van Gogh he couldn't be an astronaut or something like that. And you know what he said? I can't hear you because he had freaking slice his ears off, and I was just rolling laughing at how stupid that entire dinner scene was with all these people just trying to out-moron one another. It was the greatest. But yeah, that's the last movie, because you had mentioned last week about having to pause movies or having to go back.
Yeah.
You laugh so hard, and that was, I had to think about it for a few days, and I'm like, that's the last time that happened for me was Dinner for Schmucks.
Fist bump. Is not in my fighting database.
No, this isn't a fighting thing. It's what people do sometimes when they're excited or pumped up.
And it goes like a couple, for those who haven't seen the movie, you're not really going to get that. But the part I started crying, and I knew it was coming because they're all fist bumping the butler for the other guys. And then he fist bumps him and he goes like, blah, blah, blah. And I had to play it back like three times. I don't know. I thought the weirdest shit funny. All right. So I guess that's it for this week. Let's get our plugs and final thoughts. Heavyset.
Well, of course, you could find me at Heavyset330 and the wonderful NFL Easy Picks that is still here on the Trending Topics Network. We just got a couple more episodes. I think we're planning on a couple more. I think we already have the divisional round done this for this week, maybe the Super Bowl preview episode, and then we're going to do a Super Bowl review episode, the last episode of the year. No worries, Brian. We're not going to quit again on the last.
Once you pay him the fucking $5 you owe him this time, you won't get kicked off.
What about the All-Star game? That's completely worthless to everybody in the NFL.
Yeah, we're not. I've thought about it. I don't think we're going to do that.
I like this year, though, how it's a fantasy style instead of AFC versus NFC.
But what we're going to do is right about a half hour after the Super Bowl ends, or between a half hour to an hour after, we're going to start recording the episode. So if you're up watching the show or watching the Super Bowl and you want to be on the show afterwards, let me know and we'll do it. I think we already got Carp saying he's down, and Ant talk about being on too.
Ant's going to be on at fucking 4 in the morning.
He said he's going to be down. He's probably going to be, because that's another thing too. If you're going to be watching it live, fuck it. He's probably just going to get up early and watch the whole game.
Yeah, stay up.
Tweet him at Heavyset330 if you want to get on that Super Bowl.
Or at NFL Easy Picks.
There you go. Check that out. Brian from Tunes, what do we got going on this week?
Everything. Everything. You can find me just about anywhere, literally. Tunes Show. Go there. Tuneshow.com.
A fucking nice website, by the way.
Thanks.
You pulled that out of your ass in like 1 week, too. It's fucking nice.
Yeah, it took a little bit longer than that. I had it going on, but yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It is pretty nice. You can find links to all the Trending Topics Network shows and all that other fun stuff. Any show that has a site on the Trending Topics Network, I put links in there. I'll tell you how to get a hold of all the different things for Tunes, because I have Tunes. I have Tunes Game Time, which I recorded earlier today. So this is my second podcast today. And when I'm not doing one of my four podcasts, or three and a half to four podcasts I do every week, then I'm just watching the Penguins spank that Montreal Canadian ass.
You fucking piece of shit. They got some overtime bullshit win before they got smoked last week.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Made Sid the Mumps kid look like nothing the week before.
You just poked the bear, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know, when I came up with the whole Michael Flatley intro for myself, I was actually going to pull Mike Lang calling Sidney Crosby's overtime winner. But yeah. I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I would have kicked your ass off this show so fucking fast.
You already had to take off 6 weeks to get a childhood disease that no adult should fucking have.
Yeah, you got fucking like 24-hour AIDS or whatever. Yeah, you got an STD or something like that, I heard. All right, yeah, something like that. Carp, plugs, final thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. Come on by, play some wrestling-related games and UFC at the end of this month. As well, as always, on Twitter, if you want to bitch and complain about my apparent mild racism, that would be at Killer Carpe Diem.
DRG.
Even though in my high school I was a minority and I would have never survived my high school without if I was a racist, anybody who has been to my high school would know that. As well, you know what? If you're a beer drinker and all beer inside is coming up sooner than later, try and enjoy a local craft beer. It's always good to support your local vendors.
Yeah, and if you guys want to get on that show, two requirements. One, you have to have Skype, and two, you have to have beer, because we're just going to fucking get trashed and blast the All Wine Aside show and shoot the shit. And talk about how I think I could take down a moose with a bat and a steel chair. Stay tuned.
I will bet you $100,000 you will have a crushed rib cage.
We've been arguing this point for 10 years. It's going to be our first topic on All Beer Inside coming up very shortly. If you guys want to stay tuned for that, or if you want to be on the show, tweet me at oldmovies.net. So for Kebo Trek, Carp, Heavy, Set, and Brian, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
Based on the book everyone's mom read on the beach, comes the best acted, coolest looking, most well-written Lifetime movie ever made, Gone Girl. Meet Nick and Amy, two successful, good-looking people in love. She's the basis for a beloved series of children's books.
Your wife is amazing, Amy.
And he's a caring son who moves to Missouri to take care of his sick mother. They seem like the perfect couple, but there's just one problem. She's batshit fucking crazy. Settle in for the film that had audiences everywhere wondering if their significant other was planning to kill them. In this cold-hearted look at how all men are pigs, or how all women are monsters, or both? Either way, you probably shouldn't see it on the first date.
I picture cracking her lovely skull, unspooling her brains.
Ben Affleck stars as a guy everyone loves to hate.
You look like hammered shit.
You fucking idiot. Fucking asshole.
When his wife Amy disappears, he'll respond by acting as guilty as humanly possible.
You filed the paperwork.
Because she told me to.
And banging the hot chick from the Blurred Lines video.
Yeah.
Blurred boobs. Yeah. Rosamund Pike shines as the most well-organized crazy person ever. A murderer who's sick and tired of acting cool just to please a man. Even though, unlike the book, we never see her do anything cool. Ever.
All we did was resent each other and try to control each other.
That's marriage.
Follow along as she escapes her cheating husband by creating fake money troubles, befriending the local pregnant idiot so she can steal her pee to fake a pregnancy, staging a crime scene with gallons of her own blood, creating a 5-year diary of fake abuse stories, then planning to kill herself so she can frame him for her murder. Instead of, oh, I don't know, divorcing him? Seems a lot easier to me. Experience the film critics are still debating for being either pro or anti-feminist, even though its message boils down to don't have sex with crazy people, a lesson that Neil Patrick Harris clearly didn't pay attention to.
A girl is allowed to be crazy as long as she is equally hot. You want a girl to be above this line.
Oops. Witness director David Fincher at the height of his powers as he reveals each twist and turn with his trademark Fincherisms, like smooth camera pans, a cool color palette, a dank abandoned building, nihilism.
Life, I don't remember the point.
Sociopaths, low-lit interiors, ambient music, haze, and general f***-uppedness. Wait, is she putting that in her... Man, this movie is messed up. So settle in for a nearly 3-hour movie that will keep you on the edge of your seat, full of manipulations, murder, and deceit, until Ben Affleck finally gets his revenge by staying with her to start a family?
I want to stay with her.
What? Why would he do that? Run, dude! And is that his dick? What is happening? Man, this ending is weird. Starring Adnan Syed, Chasing Amy, Madea Good Movie for once, Safe Search Off, Doogie Howser, Nancy Grace, and still almost famous, Your Wife Probably Wants to Kill You.
I swear, you two are the most f***ed up people I've ever known.
This movie really could have used more Tyler Perry. Did I really just say that?